In today's scripture, the first one about worry, what we will eat, what we will drink, what we will wear, seems a bit anemic. Today, we are considering and concerned about how to protect ourselves from those who don't know us that might break into our homes, or about a kid who will, out of their pain and their anguish, carry a gun to school and shoot people that are not even expecting but frightened of the possibility. Today, worry is about how we will maintain world peace in a global community. But Paul writes in the book of Romans, and I thought a long time before I wanted to put this sentence out here, if God is for us, who can be against us? In other words, if we truly are a people of faith and God is for us, who is it that will stand over against us? Or maybe another way of looking at this is, how will we stand and carry our life in a time that is filled with difficulty, challenges beyond imagination, and messages that filter out of Facebook and even can be stolen from Facebook, which threatens our identity? So, do we really believe that God is for us? Our first scripture this morning gives us a hint of how to put worry in its proper place, but strive first for the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things, the possibilities of war, the danger of violence, the fact that someone could break in and take away from us what we have worked so hard to possess. To place our son under the rule of God, which means we choose to live in the kingdom of God, right here in this time in history, is a way to focus on what is of first importance in our lives. Now, I'm not one that believes give your life to God and everything's going to come out hunky-dory. It just doesn't work that way. But I also think that giving oneself to the kingdom of God can begin to create a way of living more hopefully, more peacefully, and more thoughtfully about the world we live in. If this place is a mini kingdom of God, and I believe it is, we give it a priority place for our worry when we begin addressing, in this context, the community as a support community, who will care about what is happening to us, who will pray with us in the most difficult times, who will go with us as we carry pain that sometimes we know about and sometimes is hidden in the deep recesses of our mind that needs to be uncovered so that we can be more honest and real in our living. And the same source of strength to take us beyond this place into our homes, our workplaces, and our neighborhoods. I don't want us to forget last Sunday. It was a neat Sunday. For those of us who could be here, we realized in the child dedication service that we were promising Matt, Leah, Benjamin, Emma, and Maddie that we would be the presence of Christ to them. We would care about and pray for their family. We would be a safe place where they could bring themselves together and deepen and grow their life in faith, and find comfort in the good times and strength to persevere in the more difficult times of their lives. Seek first the kingdom of God. That's what they were doing with us as we did it with them. Seek first the kingdom of God. Last Thursday, a few deacons met with our good friend Rosemary who is facing living with and dealing with cancer. We anointed her for the forgiveness of sins, the strengthening of her faith, and for the wholeness of body, mind, and spirit in keeping with the will of God. And at the conclusion, she witnessed to us about the inner peace and strength that had come over her during the anointing service. Together, we were seeking first, in that moment, the kingdom of God. The secret message of Christ shared with his disciples, told in understandable parables, at least if we read them carefully and we understand their context and their setting, growing out of the reality of people's lives, and we had ears to hear. Remember, I've talked about that, having eyes to see and ears to hear, and represented in the acts of healing of Jesus. His acts of sinning were not to prove him as a miracle worker. His acts of healing were to prove God is real. Displayed in the blessing of the children, when the disciples wanted to resist, push the families back, because children in his time had no personhood. And experienced in the equipping journey for the ongoing work of discipleship. The secret of the message of Christ is that your worry has a proper place. Seek first the kingdom of God, and you will be helped, guided, and blessed for living a life full of grace, love, and mercy. Significant values. And later on, if I'm here long enough, I want to talk about some of the significant values that the church needs to capture if it's really going to be relevant to the culture that surrounds us. But three of them there: grace, love, mercy. Brian McLaren, who has been on the front in missional church life, has written a number of books, and one of them is The Secret Message of Jesus. And he raised some very important questions for kingdom believers. What if his secret message reveals a secret plan? What if he did not come to start a new religion? Think about that for a minute. He did not come to start a new religion, but rather came to start a political, social, religious, artistic, economic, intellectual, and spiritual revolution. Something to think about. When I think of revolution, I think of violence, and I think of takeovers, and I think of power plays. But Jesus didn't come that way. He came among us full of grace and truth, as John's gospel portrays to us. What he's offering in his coming, the secret message that I believe that is a part of the gospel story, is that he comes to bring a new worldview. Now, worldview is kind of one of those complicated phrases, but it simply means a new way of thinking, a new way of seeing things, a new way of acting, a new way of practicing our life. That's who Jesus was. God loved this world so much, he came in his Son, dressed in human skin, to portray to us the reality of a new world. His message had practical implications for such issues as how to live our life daily, how to earn and spend money, how to treat people of other races and religions, yes, and even how the nations of the world conduct their foreign policy. Now, from day one, there was trouble. There was movements all over the place breaking out of Jesus bringing a new kingdom for us to be a part of. There were the zealots who led rebellions, and often violent and destructive, because they wanted to change the world. They had the energy and the enthusiasm. There were the Essenes, who would develop a safe place in the desert so they could escape over here and have this holy moment with God, praying and meditating. And there were the Pharisees. They had these 80 plus laws that if you wanted to be right with God, you had to live up to and obedient to, and even could cost them their life. It cost Jesus his life. Their laws were so stringent and so burdensome to society. And that leads us to today's second scripture. I don't know why it happened, but I had to call Brian last night and say I left off the most important verse of this scripture. I stopped at, I think, the 27th verse, something like that. And the real substance of that is when Jesus said, "Come to me, all you that are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest." Hear this: "For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Jesus wasn't all about laws and rules. He was all about relationship. Jesus knew, God in human flesh knew, that it was all about communion with God that Jesus was coming into the world about. It was all about what was really the will of God that God was coming in the world about. Now, let's be clear. I'm not talking about a free ride, everything goes and all is well kind of gospel. The gospels carry truth to understand how this new kingdom is to be and how this new kingdom is to act. However, it is focused on the important pieces of faithful living, which includes the importance of relationships with God and Jesus Christ and one another. Jesus didn't have this isolated religion that led to meism and it's all about me. He had this sense of community, and we're going to talk more about that here in the near future. This sense of being together. Remember, we as brethren say, continue the work of Jesus peacefully, simply, and together. He also wanted relationships where we would learn right from wrong. This is more about relationship than it was about law. But for example, knowing that God wouldn't be pleased if we fly an airplane into a tall building, destroying thousands of people's lives. Or that you can't steal money from those you work with and have relationships with because it's not right. Or that abusing people with your harsh words, acts of sexual harassment, or unbridled anger is okay. Because the great commandment teaches, love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself. As McLaren points out in the book that he wrote, and it's an interesting, fascinating read about the secret message of Jesus, he says, "The yoke that is easy discovers, understands, believes, and as faithful as one knows how, lives Jesus' message." It doesn't even say we have to get it right, but as easily as we can believe it and understand it, living Jesus' message. The yoke that is easy is not man-made, but created by God and lived strongly among us in Jesus Christ. For he is the way. He is the kingdom of God first. Jesus lives it in every step he takes among us. And you know, notice that I didn't say every step he took among us. Every step that he takes among us. That means he's living. He's here with us. He's going with us. He's the head of this church. He is guiding us to the kind of life that God would will. And that leads to the fact that he is the truth. He spoke it, he taught it, and he practiced it in every encounter he had with people. And there's no more powerful representation of it than the Sermon on Mount, which we find in Matthew 5, 6, and 7. And finally, he is the life. Jesus is not a law or a rule, but rather a relationship that begins with our being put right with God through the merciful act of Jesus' death and resurrection. The Pharisees wanted to make ourselves right with God, and Jesus taught God has made us right through the death and resurrection with him. Jesus' secret message is found in the children like Emma and Maddie and all the children who have and will make up this place, for they represent an innocence, a beginning. Yeah, they have their own personality, and our two children had personalities in those first days that we recognized, but there was an innocence in them. That's what we're invited to see. That's what we're invited to shape our life after. So it is not the religion that makes the difference. It's not whether you are Catholic or Methodist or Presbyterian or Mennonite or Church of the Brethren. It's that we are the body, the people of Christ. It is our openness to the one who said, "I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and the intelligent." I think it's interesting. The wise, the educated. Please don't hear me put down educated. I believe in education. But might we need to be cautious that we think we know it all? And have revealed them to infants, and I would say to children. It is our commitment to learn from him all that he teaches, and not just our favorite words or verses from the Gospels. It is our desire to follow him, the resurrection one, each day, thinking about our words and actions. What is Jesus wanting to do through us, and not just choose what we want, when we want, and how we want to be Jesus' followers. It is through prayer and supportive concerns of our sisters and brothers who make up this wonderful community of faith that we are willing to be shaped and reshaped to be an expression of the kingdom of God here on earth. You actually, folks, are reshaping me. Now, the fact you've asked me to be interim pastor, and I'm seeing stuff in Scripture that I either knew was there and forgotten, and that's a part of this journey, folks, or had seen before, and like Anna Mao once said, reading 30 verses of the same Scripture 30 different times, and it was in the 30th reading that she really saw what God was about and what God was saying. Now that is something to worry about, folks. About at least to the extent that we are open to the love and the grace and the mercy of the one who invites, come. Come, folks. Follow me. Because I am trustworthy. And more deeply, because I care and love you enough that I was willing and am willing to go to the cross. Give up my life so that you might have life. God is with us right now and right here. Paul had it right. If God is for us, who can be against us? And that means that if we take this all seriously, if we read the Bible with open ears and eyes and listen to what the Scriptures say, that there no longer is a secret, for the plan is revealed. We belong to the kingdom of God, and there is where our worries should be placed, and there is where we learn how to live the kind of life that can address some of the worries and challenges of the world, even though we can't address them all. But we can. We can, and we will, with God's help, make a difference. Amen.